Today's our last day. We're finishing up. Today finishes up our 15 days of prayer and fasting, and I pray it's been powerful time for you. If you've been using our guide, it's been just a joy to pray through our church family. You can take some notes. There's a slot for you for today's message. As we continue to look at who God is, not who we want him to be, not what pop culture says he is or Hollywood makes him out to be, but God's given us his word. It's really clear who he is. It's not a complicated thing, although we do have to bow our selfishness and our busyness and our agendas to who he says he is. And that's what we're going to do today as we look at this issue of knowing the God who is relationship. And today we're going to be in John 13 and 14. And because the passage is even actually longer than that, I'm actually going to show you the scriptures on screen today. But one person once said that someone's last words are lasting words. They're the words that if they've got one more thing to say to you, this is obviously the most important. And we're going to be in John 13 and 14. And this is where Jesus shares his last words with the disciples before the cross. And in this period of time, it starts in chapter 13, Jesus is saying the most important things for the disciples to handle their toughest times. And so we really need to pay attention to these words. And since it's on the screen today, I'm just going to invite you to stay seated. I've usually asked you to stand for the reading of God's word. But I want you to think of maybe, not in a negative way, but in a hopeful way, some of the things that have been tough to get through in your life. And some of the things right now that are kind of the toughest challenges to you. And I want you to hear God speak to you through these words. So just let the Spirit of God begin to do that as you'll see the scriptures. Jesus sharing his last words with the disciples before the cross. He says this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter's asking, because Jesus is talking about going away, and says, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." There's sometimes in the middle of what's tough, we kind of lose God's presence and peace in our lives. And yet God's like, no, just keep understanding, keep trusting who I am. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms," because you're part, I'm bringing you into the family. "If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." No matter what we go through, we know the end of our story, the blessing, the peace, the goodness of God that's always going to be with us. But Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? We don't understand how to get through what we're facing right now." And Jesus answers this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Everything you need, everything that God has, comes through me. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Jesus is talking about the things that a person's going to need in their toughest days. "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him," the Spirit of God, "but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him." God's coming to us. We're not finding him. He's finding us and making our home. We'll make our home with him. "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you." What I just told you is designed to bring you peace. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Well, that's good, because that didn't sound like what the world would tell me to have peace. All right? "I don't give the way the world gives it. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Lord Jesus, we just bow our hearts and every word of every song we sang this morning, we're asking to be true in our lives. Call our name so we can not have to live in fear, a tomb and a cave of fear in our lives. We long to, when you speak, darkness fades away. Lord, and we know that you're able. So thank you for your holy scripture. Thank you for your word. It's already moving in our hearts. Now open our eyes to see all the ways that we can live it out. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Well, what did Jesus share? What did he talk about most when he had his last words to say to a group of disciples who were about to face something that was going to make them very afraid? Well, it might surprise you, but the thing most repeated in the upper room discourse, that's what it is actually the Trinity. Now, does that surprise you that Jesus talks about a doctrine? He talks about a character of who God is that we don't easily relate to? That when the disciples need to hear something most practical to help them through some of the most practical things they're facing, the thing Jesus talks about the most is that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because didn't you hear those terms over and over again in what I just read you? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and how they work together and how together they give us what we need. That's really almost odd because in the most practical moment, we don't think a doctrine, a fact about who God is. It's like, well, okay, I mean, how's that supposed to help me handle this tough relationship I'm in? But I want to submit to you today that Jesus, well, he knew what he was talking about. And he knew what we need most in our hardest times. And it's this understanding of not making God who we want him to be, to live out relationships the way we want, but remember who God is and what he is, and from there live out our relationships. And I'll break that down in a moment. Sinclair Ferguson, his book Knowing God, says, if Jesus concentrated on this subject, on the darkest hour, and at the time of the disciples' greatest need, then the doctrine of the Trinity must be the most practical and important for our lives. And so we want to look at that today and let God begin to speak to us and open our eyes. One of my favorite quotes of life is that we don't see the world the way it is. We see the world the way we are, right? So sometimes beautiful answers are all around us, but because we're so inclined in our personality and our fears and our stress is making us look this way, we don't have the ability to see that the truth is right over here. The answer's right here, but I'm looking at life the way I feel like I feel like and what I want to look at, and I tend to look at God like, God, why aren't you showing me the answer right here? God, don't you care about me? And God's saying, remember who I am, open up a little bit, and don't look at life just the way you are. Open up and remember who I am, and you'll see a lot more of my answers. And so I just want to share with you this morning just four things about, I just want to take a fact about who God is and then show how it actually makes perfect sense in how we live our life. And I'll say this, and it's pretty much the exact opposite of how your feelings in the world is telling you to handle your relationships. So we're just going to look at them together for a minute. So there's this idea that God is a Trinity. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't have enough time to make that make sense to you, okay? I mean, all of us. I mean, God's a little bit of what we know and a little bit of what we don't know. And if we could figure them all out, I don't think he'd be God, okay? He's a little bigger than us. But the idea is God in himself, he is love. He is relationship. And we're here as his creatures who are created, and we're down on earth. And he's like us, but he's so much more than us that I can't even understand how this works, but God's just telling me, it's like, hey, in and of myself, I am relationship, which means it's really important, all right? I am that, and I love in such a way that you can't even tell who's where. I just, and these are actually terms about family too, right? Like father and son, and there's this thing about family that God wants in our lives, and the Bible tells us in Genesis 1, it's the first mention of the Trinity, right? It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule. I mean, from the very beginning, God was speaking of himself as a Trinity, okay? That there's more than just, it was this idea of three in one. And here's the idea. You and I, we're made in that image. We're made to relate to all of that. And as a matter of fact, we're made to function like he functions. And we're broken. We don't understand who God is. We won't understand how to live. And so this idea that God is three in one is actually really, really important to the most basic relationships you and I have in our lives. So we're just going to take a look at just a few thoughts, one from kind of each member of the Trinity, okay? The scripture there, and throughout the Bible, it's the Father who's the creator, along with the Son and the Spirit, and he made you to be in relationship, and he knows how they work. He not only made you someone in his image built to have relationship just with him and with others, but also he built the other person that you're struggling with to have relationship, and he knows how they function and what they need as well. He knows all the relationships in our community and how they're supposed to function. And so this truth of God creating us to be in relationship, we're made in his image. We can be an introvert. We can be an extrovert. We can have great people skills, and we can have lousy people skills, but we're still meant to be in relationship. Sometimes I see you walk in here, and sometimes I feel like I'm so tired. It's like, God, I just don't have time to talk to anybody, and I'm not sure I'm having a relationship with myself right now. You know, I'm just kind of like, I haven't talked to me in a long time. I'm so busy, okay? It's that idea, but we need to remember that relationship is where we get life. So the irony is we feel tired. We feel too tired to have relationship, but it's actually relationship in a way that's about how God built you that actually brings you life, that actually gets you untired in several ways. So we're going to look at that. Someone literally just yawned in the crowd as I was saying that. Okay, I get it. You're tired. All right. The Trinity teaches us that I was not created to be alone. Again, it doesn't mean you have to have a relationship like me and you don't have to be like that one person who talks to everybody, but you're made for relationship. We need to remember that. And part of coming together is to allow God to do that in our lives. Simple thought. Now, it's interesting. And then I would just say here's a practical principle. We just need to remember that I need God to understand relationships better, okay? So when I'm having a difficulty in relationship, the goal isn't, oh, I don't have time to go to church. I got to work on that relationship. I don't have time to read. No, it's actually the opposite. It's like I need to spend some time with God in order to help the relationship get better because he's the one who built this. But when relationships go sour or when we're tired or frustrated or we're just in that place where it's a little painful to be in relationship, we tend to choose isolation instead. Now, Sarah and I, we've got kind of two cars we swapped between us, an old Pilot and a Honda Accord. And Sarah and I just switched cars, so I'm using the Accord a lot. I used to just use the Pilot. I can't tell you how many times in the middle of a parking lot with bags, I'm clicking the Pilot unlock button to get in the car, my Accord. I'm like, why is this thing not opening? Like, I'm freezing. I need to get in. I was like, I'm so used to using this key that I forget that that's not the key to get into where I need to get anymore. And some of us are so used to being in alone and handling things alone that we face a problem and we keep clicking the old button of being alone. I just need to get away from people. I just need it. Now, again, I'm not saying you've got to understand how God made you, but relationships really, really important. We've got to stop clicking the old answer, which is I'm just going to isolate. Amen? All right. Number two, we can't come to the Father except through the Son. I mean, that's what Jesus said in John 14:6. You know, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There's a lot of wonderful, sincere people in the world that have come from a lot of storylines, and we have a lot of wonderful cultures and nations in the world, and everybody built, created by God to have relationship with him and one another, they're seeking after him. There is something that longs, and so we come up with a world that has a lot of different religions in it and a lot of sincerity behind it, and that's a beautiful thing because they're responding to the truth that God made them to need him, all right? But in the end, Jesus has been really clear that no one knows God the Father except through God the Son, okay? And we can have spiritual experiences because there are demons as well as angels, and they are deceiving, and there are things that can seem good for a moment or just kind of give. But the truth is, it's only through Jesus that we come to the Father. And you know, a lot of times you'll hear those kind of debates and religious, you know, they'll all have a think tank about it, and everybody will say, well, you know, religions are really similar, and really our differences are only superficial. No. Let me just tell you, it's the exact opposite. The similarities are superficial. The difference is actually incredibly deep, all right? Because all of the religions are based on this idea that somehow there was a prophet, there was just someone just like us who God spoke to and said, these are the ways to find me, do these things. Christianity has an exactly different and opposite declaration that we could not find God. God himself, not one of us, God himself came down to find us, and he made the way for us. He didn't ask us to do something. The first thing is he gave his life that we might reconnect with the Father. And what we do is not to earn relationship with the Father. All, what we do is simply to say yes to the relationship that God has created. It's a very, very big difference. Now, the beautiful thing in all of that is that that actually opens the door for incredible diversity. Because in the end, all people can come through Jesus to be together. In a very practical way, I like to call it the Chick-fil-A effect, okay? All of the world seems to go there to eat, especially at lunchtime when I'm in a hurry and I just need to go in and out real quick, all right? And it's just, there's one source and everybody's going to it. And the tragedy of the church, the history of the church in general, is the church has usually been someplace without any diversity, all right? It's been a place where it's like, I don't know how we did that, but no, the fact that there is only one way is actually what brings greater diversity to us, not less, because we all get to enjoy coming to him. Now, the truth in this is that one of the things the Trinity shows us in the role of Jesus is that lasting relationship only happens through Jesus. Only through Jesus, okay? And this is, I'll work out the implications here in a minute, but the only reason you and I know the Father and the Spirit is because of the Son. And that's why we talk about having a Jesus-centered relationship with God, and we're going to talk about with one another. Jesus makes it possible to have an eternal relationship, one that never ends. It doesn't matter what you walk through. God is with you, and he is able. We sang about it this morning. And so there's this beautiful gift that Jesus gives us. Colossians 1:17 says this, "And Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together." And in other words, if he's not in the center, they don't hold together. But our world says, no, if you want to get along with people, don't get religious because that will divide you. It's like, no, actually, Jesus is the key for me having a relationship in which I can really love you and bless you all the days of your life. Get this, whether you believe in Jesus or not. Okay? We're gonna hit that again. Your greatest priority for your family, because we have this, for your family should be to help each other know Jesus. That's the first of the four priorities of our church family, is to help each other make Jesus the center of everyday life. Because in the end, we need to do this. Now, we live in a world that says, well, you know, if you're a parent, you shouldn't force your kids, don't force religion on them or things like that. It's like, well, okay, I agree, don't force. One, it's not about religion. And two, how about lead? How about, like, be a leader? Like, force isn't one thing. How about lead, though? Well, because in the end, I need to help my kids, and kids, I need to help my parents, all right, know Jesus. Because if we do this, we can have true relationship that lasts. If we don't, we can still be a family, and we can be tight based on codependence, obligation, and guilt, all right? But if we want to be a family that thrives and enjoys, we need to based on him. And if you don't believe me, you should ask these two good-looking people, okay? All right? All right, this is Tina, and this is Craig, right? And if I remember the story correctly, they were the high school friends who liked each other, but it didn't quite always work out, because in the end, Tina, like, wake up, okay? Craig's right there. Just love him, okay? But they get married, all right? And for 7 years, they're going pretty strong. They have two kids, and then, you know, all the things the world says are what's supposed to make a marriage last and love last don't. And I remember the day Tina came into our church because of the divorce that was imminent, and really actually walked her through the difficulty of the divorce. And then as Jesus, and I remember when Tina came to Christ and then was just really kind of transformed about how she was relating to Craig, even in the middle of them not wanting to have, you know, him not wanting to have relationship and forgiveness and all this stuff working out. And Tina, through lots of nights that had lots of tears with him, just knew Jesus and was staying strong. And then a year to the date of their divorce, they got remarried. Tina's right over there, by the way. I took this picture because I was there. It was awesome. All right? It was an amazing moment to see that once Jesus got to be the center of a relationship, what didn't seem like it could last actually lasted, all right? And we got to bring that back. But I just want you to hear this practical principle that no relationship will last. And I want you to note this word right here. If you don't put Jesus at the center of it. I'm not talking about whether the other person is put in the center of it or not. I'm talking about you, all right? Because what happens is, again, we live in this world that, and again, sometimes people don't represent Jesus well, or some people in the name of religion do all sorts of wacky things in relationship, all right? But it's like, so we kind of live in this world that says with tolerance and inclusion and all these things, let's just not bring up Jesus, because that's the way we can have good relationship. Wrong. Really, really, really wrong. Okay? And I'm not trying to be distraught. I'm just saying it's not going to work. All right? You actually need to put Jesus at the center. Because last time I checked, whether the other person believes it or not, whether the other person is going to be faithful in relationship or not, Jesus washed people's feet. And he healed them. And he fed them. And he helped them. And we live in this weird world that says if you want to get along, don't bring up religion. And I would actually agree, don't bring up religion. But bring up Jesus. Like, be Jesus, okay? Because that's how this works. And if you followed Facebook the other day, we went to Ecoff Elementary as part of your Christmas legacy offering. And we have, this is a new teacher. This is Kristen Tate, who's the new principal over at Ecoff, and the new assistant principal, Channing Wagner, who actually was in my youth group way back in the day, all right? And they're the new leadership over at Ecoff, and they just started. And as they just started, we were talking about what it would be like to help them come to a place of encouraging their faculty and staff, because they've been through a lot of changes. So what we did, based on the Christmas Legacy offering, is we bought them all Better Together shirts, okay? And Friday morning, this past Friday, we went there, and they were announcing some things, and then hey, Pastor Sean, I'm in front of all the faculty, and said, hey, we just want to encourage you that when things change, and it's new, you know, the answer is that you're together, and we get better together, we are better together, and we do better together. And the whole place was lighting up. I said, and our church just wants to say thank you. You know, they're a mile down the road. Our church just wants to say thank you and let you know how much we appreciate that we're together and we're supporting you. And so we've got every one of you a Better Together t-shirt. And we pulled them out, and everybody was like, whoa, it's great. And it was a really big deal, and it was really a cool moment. Now, not everybody at the school believes in Jesus. All right? As a matter of fact, there's a few of them who definitely don't, okay? But that doesn't mean I can't put Jesus at the center of how I relate to them. And as I do that, there's joy. I mean, look at all these things that happen, okay? And so that's just that thing we've got to be careful. I want to encourage you, what relationship in your life do you need to say, you know what, I need to get Jesus in the center of how I'm relating to them, regardless of whether they're relating with Jesus to me, okay? So that's number two there. Number three, we can't know the Father and the Son without the Spirit. So Jesus, the Trinity, and Jesus talked about it here in the passage. Jesus is the one who helps us have relationship with the Father and the Spirit. But here comes the Spirit that, and we've talked about this, that helps us understand the things of God. Because only the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 2, only the Spirit of God can help us understand the things of God. all right? And so I need the Spirit. And in 14, 26 through 27, Jesus says, all I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit and about the Father sending, there's the Trinity, will send in my name, will teach you all things, and will remind you of everything I've said to you. And later talks more about the Holy Spirit. Because in the end, the Spirit is what brings eternal life and helps keep me connected to God. But the Spirit is also what keeps me connected to other people, because Galatians 5:22 tells me that the fruit or the result of the Spirit is love and joy. This is the type of person I would like to be around in life, right here, all right? This, if these things are happening, then my relationships are working, okay? So I need the Holy Spirit in my relationships for them to last. And a matter of fact, I need them especially for the differences that are in the relationships that I have to face, because I'm an introvert, you're an extrovert, I'm super about tasks, I like people, I want to get things done today, I've been asleep for 7 hours, however it works, right? We're different people, and we're going to need some patience. Like, I love in our schools, they're all about inclusion right now, it's all about inclusion, right? It's like, okay, when you include everybody, what you going to do, all right, after you include everybody? You're going to need a whole bunch of this for that inclusion to work, all right? Because let me tell you what, that sounds good on the opening doormat, but once you get inside, it's a little messy, okay? So you got to have the Spirit. You're going to need these things. So true diversity can only happen through the Spirit, because what's keeping us together when we're so different? The Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness. These are the things I need. This is the God who in himself has diversity, wants me to enjoy the gift. Because remember, I see the world the way I am. So I'm always looking this way. But if I have someone who's very different than me, like, man, I don't know, this person never looks my way. Why don't we talk about this? They always want to be over here. They want to do this. Like, I need the power of the Holy Spirit to get me to learn to appreciate what they're seeing over here. All right? I need some patience. Right? I need some self-control. I need some help. And that's how the Spirit works. And when I begin to do that, all of a sudden life gets bigger and better. And this is a key biblical concept. And a lot more of God's grace enters into my life through diverse, not the same. I don't need more of the same. I need a little different in my life to see something different about God and about his goodness and his hope and his faith in my life. And so yesterday, we had our elders for a day retreat, and we are very blessed by our eldership here at Cornerstone. Some in the room, I'll have them stand a second. Here's a picture of us in prayer, okay? And we're missing Sabrina and Matt and Bill in these pictures. And man, we're going at it, and we're all together. Winston's praying in Spanish. King's telling the devil where he can go. Dick is crying. Doug's about to say something super profound that none of us realize. All right? Pat's reminding us three scriptures about holiness. Jay's just encouraging all of us and loves what he sees. Diane is thinking about the different ladies in the church, what they need. And Chuck's speaking in his native language, which is English, from Britain. So we all feel more spiritual when Chuck prays. It's like, I think God just spoke to all of us. It's amazing, right? That's just a little taste of the diversity of our eldership, all right? And we're not just different in, like, our expressions. Like, we all have different passions. And what happens is when we get together, we learn to see a bigger picture of what God wants to do in all of you and in our community. And it's just really, really sweet. So that's what we need. Man, I really appreciated and I appreciate Winston coming up and sharing and praying in Spanish. Because you know, if Jesus, all right, this is going to be a big thought. If Jesus is the center of our church, that means English is not the center of our church. All right? Now, it doesn't mean we don't have to understand each other and communicate. But I'm like, actually, there's a greater joy when more of the picture starts filling out by diversity. But that's only going to happen by the Holy Spirit, because we're different. really different. But when the Holy Spirit comes together, we get to see things we've never seen. We need to do it generationally, right? And a few other different ways. So, practical principle. Here it is. You're in the middle of a relationship that's really bothering you. Look at the fruit of the Spirit in your own life instead of looking at the failures or differences of the other person in the relationship. All right? I feel like this is absolutely of the Lord for a lot of people. It's like, you're thinking to make this work, you keep looking at the other person and what they need to do and what they need to change. And why are they being so different? It's like you got it all backwards. The key to making that relationship work is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you. So look there. Look there, okay? Hopefully all of us right now, we've got a person right now. It's like, that is true. Okay? Let's stop looking at them. Let's start looking at ourselves. Beautiful relationship. Now, I just want to encourage you. I got to give you one more testimony, okay? I'll give you one more testimony. So that means, again, it doesn't matter if the other person is exhibiting the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's about what I'm doing. It's not that they may or may not know Jesus. It's that I know Jesus, and that I'm putting him at the center of the relationship I'm having. And I'm doing it in a servanthood, gracious way. I'm not a Bible thumper, just like all around. Like, no, Jesus, I mean, just read through the gospel. We're in Matthew right now. Jesus was gracious, and he understood how to speak and what it was to. He never compromised the truth, but he knew what that moment called for. We know it by the Spirit. So here we are as a church. We've been in a six-year relationship with our board of supervisors for our county as the Lord put it on my heart 6 years ago, 2013. I was looking at all of the what was going on, and I knew a few of the board of supervisors, and they would tell me these times where, you know, the only time people show up to our meetings are to complain. And a lot of times, and most of them are Christians, and, you know, and there'd be principles we feel, but other people would want something, and no Christian would ever show up and say anything that represented God's opinion in the community. And so 6 years ago, I decided that the first board of supervisor meeting for every new year, I would go before them, and I would declare a declaration of prayer and thanksgiving for them and say something positive, because leadership's hard, you know, and there's no way any leader is ever going to please everybody, which means somebody's going to complain, all right? And just say, you know, so whether we agree or not, it's like, hey, we're praying for you. We're thankful for you. We're praying God's wisdom and strength and blessing. By the way, you got a family too. I mean, there are things you need. And so we start doing that. So I invited us, and we had, I think exactly, or right around, or maybe just a little bit more, we had 100 people from our church show up to the board of supervisors meeting. All right? And they usually sit in all these seats. But the Spirit of God was in the middle of what we were doing. And one of the board of supervisors couldn't come on time. So Joe Casey, who's the county administrator, is a good Christian man, he called me up at a time, said, Sean, I know this is the meeting you come with a number of your people, and we really appreciate it, but I don't know if you need to call him or something, because we're going to be late, and we're going to have to delay the meeting. Well, there's no way. I didn't know who was showing up from our church. You know, I just kind of like, hey, everybody come. And so we show up at 6, and they're not going to have the meeting, right? But they see us, and literally, I mean, we packed the place out. 2 years ago when I did this, like, we're all in the meeting, and one of the board supervisors came in and said, oh, no, who's upset? Because, you know, if there's a crowd in the room, someone's really mad about something in the community. And they realize there's a bunch of Christians who want to pray for them and bless them. And so they get on the official mic, you know, they got the camera, and they said, you know, we're going to have to delay this meeting for probably about 45 minutes. We do recognize we have Cornerstone Assembly of God here. And so at this point, we're going to adjourn the meeting, but we look forward to talking with you. So what happens is all of the board of supervisors come down and start talking to all of us, right? And if you were there, raise your hand, okay? If you're there, yeah. I mean, it's super cool. All of a sudden, you could tell things like love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. They were all in the room, right? So here's Pastor Sean. Basically, it turned into a prayer service. Because Pastor Sean gets up. There's Joe Casey over here, and here's, like, leaders. There's the county attorney. I asked them to say something just to put him in an awkward situation. here's Dorothy Jekyll, who's the chair at the time. And so I just said, hey, while we're all together, we just want to remind you that we don't do this for a formal moment as much as we really are praying for and appreciate it. And Dorothy gets up, the chair gets up and say how much it means for all of us to be there and some of the burdens. And then every one of the board of supervisors starts sharing and saying thank you and what it means. And you can start seeing their faith come out because they're in a setting where they could just share whatever. And then what we do is, as we're doing this, we've also got over here, we've got four deputy administrators, and one of them I know really well, and I'm actually hoping will come to the Lord. Probably, I don't know that he's been to church much at all in his life. And so I finish up, I'm like, hey, you know, I know we're going to go back to the main session, and at that point we'll do the official, but would it be okay if we pray for you now? Because we're right here, and I know some of them in the room, like, they don't know what's going on, and I'm like, you know, and I literally say this, and Joe Casey's right here, I say, you know, sometimes when we pray, it kind of means something to show that you agree and that you're with them, you put your hand on their shoulder, because I don't know if they understand what that looks like or what that means. And then I walk away a little bit, because, so I don't know, maybe we'll do that, maybe. And Joe Casey, the county administrator, is like, oh, Sean, I'll pray with you, right? So, like, he basically says this is okay. Well, we all, like, all our people start moving to all of the different people of the county, including the deputy administrators. There's the court clerk praying with another county member now who just shared, like, as they're all sharing, she's like, I've got a broken leg, I'm here, let's pray for that. Here's Steve Ellswick, one of our, and people are around him in prayer, and everybody, I mean, the Spirit of God just came in, and it felt like kindness, and it felt like joy. Like, almost every one of them by the end was like, man, that was amazing. A matter of fact, one of the deputy administrators, who again, I'm hoping will come to the Lord, I don't know if he's ever seen any people get together in prayer. And so I checked in with the next day, I'm like, hey, it was great being there. I hope that was okay, because they're there in the middle of it. He's like, no, that was awesome. He's like, I'll never forget that night. That was really great. So I'm just like, you know, seed planted. So I just want to encourage you, like, the Spirit of God, as we follow it, whether other people are in that spot, if we follow the fruit of the Spirit, it leads to relationship, good relationship. Last one, we grow closer to God when we grow closer to his diversity, all right? And I really want to encourage you here. I don't understand why God's church for so long has been synonymous with a lack of diversity. It's just such a tragedy. I mean, it should be the exact opposite. This should be the place. We all got to go to Chick-fil-A, all right? It's just like we're all going one place to get fed. It's him. Let's all come together, and in that, let's discover the joy. Let's discover the goodness. Let's discover new grace. Let's discover new glory that comes from us being together. And as a church, let's have a passion for that. It just hit me. In life, we cannot go from problem to answer without the process. Remember the 76ers, Joel Embiid? Trust the process, right? Remember that? And you and I mean, you know, the first 2 weeks of the YMCA, man, it's packed, right? Right, Jamal? It's packed. Because everybody's saying no pain, no gain. But by the third week, they're going, it's a little pain to work out. I'd just rather gain a few pounds. You know, they just kind of like, it switched the whole terminology of pain and gain, all right? And it's like, I know my problem. I want an answer, but I don't want to go through the process to get there. And you and I, we want God to work in our lives, but a lot of us don't want to go through the process. Well, Jesus told us the process. Love one another. That's the process. Well, I don't mind loving people if they're not difficult. Well, who are you going to find? Like, who's that? You know? Like they're different than me. Okay. Well, Jesus, focus on Jesus. Trust the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you and jump into the process. Man, let the process happen. And so you're about to get in the process because we're about to do the small group fair. Find a group. Find somebody, you know? And you know what you need, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you and say, Jesus, I want to grow, you know? If you really want to get over that habit, I'm telling you what, people always click the I'll do it by myself button. Oh, man, you're never getting to your answer clicking that button. I know you used that a lot in your past. I'm telling you what, you ain't getting into freedom. You ain't going anyplace. Like, stop using that button, all right? Choose a crowd. You know, just choose some place to refresh yourself and find an answer. Because, see, I know the world says that's not the way that happens, but Jesus says it is. He's offering us a peace that the world does not give. And it should. It's going to pour grace in our life. We don't have to be afraid of what we're facing. Let's just get in the process. Get in the process of what God's calling us to do. I realize there's a picture of Craig again right there. All right, hey. We're going to find your group. So I'm going to ask Pastor Brian if he would just finish us in a moment of inviting Jesus into our hearts one more time. And we're just going to sing a classic hymn about the Trinity. And then, and small group leaders, if you got to go man your tables, why don't you go get ready for all of us. Would all of you stand? Let's have a moment of prayer. And then we're going to sing the chorus of Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And just remember, like, the God who is holy is all about relationship. His holiness is not him stepping away from us. His holiness is what Winston spoke, is saying, as I come, I want to dispel your darkness. I want to give you new hope. Let's not, you know, the enemy's pretty good. Like, we start feeling a little better, and then he lets someone disappoint us again. Or he lets someone, and all of a sudden we shrink back and we say, where's that key to get in the car all by myself one more time? And God's saying, hey, I know people have hurt you and I know it's been hard, but let's not click that key. Let's find the other key of relationship and just start. Let me guide you. I'll be faithful. I know what you're going through. And I've got some other people that want to do more that it's just going to, as you're together, you're going to know me more because I am that God that I am diversity. And I want diversity in your life. And whether it's a culture, whether it's a language, whether it's a generation, whether it's just someone that's not you. You know, it's sometimes couples, they've got each other, but they don't get the diversity of other couples in their life. Sometimes singles, you know, same way. It's just, no, Lord, speak to us. So let's just have a moment of prayer, and then Pastor Brian's going to lead us in that wonderful hymn about just declaring, God, you're holy, you know the answer, and I invite you in, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So, Lord, now, we just ask that you would speak to us, that you would help us not to reflex and react into finding the key of aloneness. But Lord, help us to enter into the process. Help us to enter into the process of loving one another that we might know you more. And Lord, sometimes if we're honest, it's like, yeah, but I don't want to break another relationship because I'm not good in relationship and I don't know what I'll say. It's like, Lord, I just pray you'd guide that person to a group of people who are gracious and merciful and that they could, everybody together could grow. That you do things that would surprise everybody in that group. And I pray for our students as well as our seniors and everybody in between. And I'm just going to ask before we sing this worship song, I'm just going to ask if you're here and you don't know God, you've not come through Jesus, but you just, today's your day to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know God. I want to know him. And I want that peace and the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I need help because I don't know how to do these relationships anymore. If that's you and you want to say, Lord Jesus, I surrender and believe in you today. And I just want to begin to know you. Would you forgive me of my sins and come into my heart? If that's you today, would you just raise a hand? Yeah, amen. Anybody else? Anybody else today? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Just want to encourage those who raised your hand. Make sure afterwards, whether Connection Center prayer or even on the card, just let us have a moment to connect with you, okay? So, Lord, we just thank you, and we join together with these two wonderful ladies. And we just say thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us of our sin. Thank you for inviting us not into religion, but into relationship. And Lord, we just ask that this would be a beginning. We don't know how to do this, God. You've got to lead us. So we're just opening up our heart, and we're thanking you for forgiveness and for new beginnings now. Let's take a moment to worship God together. Pastor Brian.